If you're enjoying this podcast, please consider leaving a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It really helps me out a lot. Cheers.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Novel Analyst Podcast. My name's Jed Hearn, author of the fantasy books Fires of the Dead and Across the Broken Stars. And today's episode is titled The Left Hand of Darkness by Ursula K. Le Guin. Crafting a slow-burning story. So, a groundbreaking work of science fiction, The Left Hand of Darkness is about this lone human ambassador sent to the planet Winter, an alien world whose inhabitants' biology allows them to choose and change their gender. His goal is to facilitate Winter's inclusion in a growing intergalactic civilization. But to do so, he must bridge the gulf between his own views and those of the completely different culture that he encounters. So, in today's episode, I want to analyze how you can make a story interesting without action sequences or a fast-paced plot. Because The Left Hand of Darkness is not a very action-y book. It's not a book that gets by on its fast pacing. It's a book that gets by on its deeply introspective explorations of themes, and of characters, and of ideas. And I think it's quite an easy trap to fall into, to think that a fast-paced story is by definition a good story. It's an easy trap to think that all stories have to be fast-paced, because that's what we see in action movies, or that's what we see in best-selling novels that are out. It's worthwhile thinking about slower-paced stories, because just because a story is slower doesn't mean it's less interesting. So we're going to get into this analysis in a second. But first, I want to quickly let you know about my latest fantasy book, Across the Broken Stars. Across the Broken Stars is a space fantasy novel about Leon, a man with a secret. He was once an angel, a winged warrior sworn to protect Pyre, a realm where people live on discs that float in space. He failed. Now, Leon's a broken man, trying to forget the past. He thinks he's the last angel, but then a young fugitive stumbles onto Leon's doorstep. She's an angel, too, and she has a riddle leading to a place where angels still live, or so the stories claim. Desperate for redemption, Leon begins a perilous quest through myth and folklore. But will Leon and the fugitive find their legendary destination? Or will Leon lose his last chance for salvation? Some amazing reviewers have described this book as unlike any other world they've ever read about. On the Readsy Discovery blog, they posted a wonderful five-starred review that described the book as saying, quote, "If you are looking for an epic fantasy that has a unique setting, this is it." So if you'd like to read Across the Broken Stars, my latest fantasy book, you can go to jedhearn.com/broken. That's jedhearne.com/broken. And the link to that is in the show notes. Or you can just search it on Amazon Book Depository, which has free shipping internationally for the paperback and hardback, or on Barnes & Noble or on other various bookstores. Hope you enjoy the story as much as I enjoyed writing it. Now, into the show. So I will be providing mild spoilers for this episode, so if you would like to read the book first and come back to this episode later, you are more than welcome. Having said that, the book has been out since 1969, so if you haven't read it already, chances are you are probably not too fussed about spoilers coming out. Now, let's look at that date for a second, because 1969, when you consider the context of that era, the themes and the premise of the book, that is, being set in a world where it's on a planet where people can, you know, choose and easily change their gender because of their alien biology, it is quite a revolutionary concept for the time. You know, some people would probably say it's still a revolutionary concept for now. So that makes this book even more interesting for me, because it really was incredibly ahead of its time and remarkably prescient in things that it explored throughout the book. So embracing the different aspects of, you know, kind of psychology and society and human emotion while set in this alien sci-fi setting, The Left Hand of Darkness is really being this, you know, massive achievement when it comes to your more intellectual, introspective science fiction. And to preface my examination of how you can keep a slow-burning story still interesting, I want to quote to you the current top review of The Left Hand of Darkness on Goodreads, because it really pulls out what makes this book so special. Quote, "The Left Hand of Darkness is a deep story of humanity, love, betrayal, alienation, and acceptance. But it is not an easy book to read. It is not meant to take you on an exciting whirlwind ride. Instead, its aim is to make the readers think and reflect. It may be slow to start, but it's hard to put down as well. I walked away from it feeling that part of me had changed forever and for the better." End quote. And that comes from the reviewer Natalia on Goodreads. So the reason why I picked this quote out is because it's pretty much how I feel about this. I read this book 2 or 3 years ago, and I've wanted to do an episode on it since I started the Novel Analyst podcast last year. So it's worthwhile to deploy a tool of Orson Scott Card's, to try to figure out why it is that this book is so engaging, despite the fact that there's, as I mentioned, not really much of a strong plot, not really much of a strong action sense to it or whatever, but it's still very engaging. So Orson Scott Card has this wonderful tool, which I have used a lot in my own writing, called the Mice Quotient. So the Mice Quotient is a writing tool used to develop stories, and it's particularly useful because it lets you do the following. It lets you figure out what kind of story you're telling. And once you know what kind of story you're telling, then you know what kind of promises you're making to your audience, and then you know how to resolve your story and fulfill those promises. So the Mice Quotient stands for 4 different terms, and these are the 4 things that Orson Scott Card, author of Ender's Game, which I have also analyzed on this podcast, describes as the macro genres. So the broader genres beyond things like fantasy, thriller, romance, whatever, these are kind of the macro genres that all of those things can fit into. So MICE stands for milieu. So these are stories about a place, a world, a particular setting that you want the reader to explore. The I in MICE stands for idea. So a story about information you want readers to discover, such as a detective story. The C stands for character, which are stories that revolve around who someone is and who they become, who they change into being. And then lastly, the E in MICE stands for event, which are stories about things that are happening that are upsetting the status quo. So this is where your kind of action-y, plot-oriented stories would fall into. So I'll run through those again, and I want you to guess in your own mind, before I give you the answer, what kind of story you think The Left Hand of Darkness is going to be. Ready? So M stands for milieu. These are stories focused on places, worlds, or settings. I stands for idea, stories about information you want readers to discover. C stands for character, which are stories about who someone is and who they change into being. And then lastly, E stands for event, which are stories about things that happened to upset the status quo. So I want you to guess right now, which one do you think The Left Hand of Darkness is? All right, I hope you have your answer. There are obviously different ways that you can interpret this, but for me, it's a very clear milieu story. The Left Hand of Darkness is, as you can probably tell from that blurb, a story about a place. It's about this ambassador on an alien planet. That's the simplest aspect of the premise. So by clearly establishing from the very first line of the blurb that the story is all about the milieu, the story very clearly sets up our expectations in a way that makes Ursula K. Le Guin able to pull off this slow-burning, introspective examination of gender and society. Because if you think back to those definitions I gave for the different aspects of the Mice Quotient, the key to milieu, unlike, say, an event plot, which is all about things happening and the plot, you know, unfolding and the characters getting into trouble and the status quo constantly changing, milieu stories are about something different. Milieu stories are about curiosity. So in a milieu story like The Left Hand of Darkness, curiosity is everything. Fast-paced plots can totally fall apart unless readers desperately want to know the answers to dramatic questions in a milieu story. And particularly, dramatic questions about the world of a milieu story. So, having identified that The Left Hand of Darkness is a milieu story, we can now see why the speed or pacing of the novel is kind of unimportant. It doesn't really matter in a milieu story if the pacing is a bit slow, because what really matters is two things. The first one is that you are raising interesting questions about the world of the story that readers desperately want answered. And the second key thing that you need to consider when writing a milieu story is that your answers to the questions about the world are surprising yet inevitable. So, what are some of those questions that are being raised about the world of The Left Hand of Darkness in this book? A couple off the top of my mind are, will the world of Winter, which is the planet that the ambassador goes to, join the intergalactic civilization? Or will they still remain this kind of independent planet? The other question is, will the main character come to understand and accept the different world of Winter, which has very different social norms to how he has grown up and the rest of galactic civilization? And then there are a whole bunch of other, you know, character relationship based questions. There are a whole bunch of world building questions, such as, okay, how have they adapted to survive on a planet that is basically this icy wasteland? And from all of these interesting questions that are revolving around the world, we get to the thematic question, to the question of the theme. How can we truly understand others? And how can we destroy the divide between us and them? I'll repeat that again because I think that's the core of this book. How can we truly understand others? And how can we destroy the divide between us and them? Like I said, fundamentally, I think that's what this story is about. It's about the eradication of the concept of us and them, whether that's based along a separation in social status, nationality, gender, or any of the other kind of arbitrary things that we use to draw lines between different groups. There's a quote that particularly shows this towards the end of the book, once the main character's arc has sort of come full circle, where the narrator says, quote, "And I saw then again, and for good, what I had always been afraid to see, and had pretended not to see in him, that he was a woman as well as a man. Any need to explain the sources of that fear vanished with the fear. What I was left with was, at last, acceptance of him as he was." So this is referring to when the main character falls in love with one of the inhabitants of Winter, who up until this point, you know, the main character has been like kind of standoffish on this because of the person's, you know, gender norms being quite different to what he is used to, since everyone on Winter, as I mentioned before, has the ability to flip biologically between their sex based on the time of season they're in. Most of the time it is just they are completely androgynous and neutral, but around their mating period they are able to become either femalean or malean, I believe is the... No, that's... I'm thinking of Stormlight Archive. I've forgotten the exact terminology in this, but basically they can flip between it. So you can have, for instance, the king of this world is pregnant, and the main character finds that, you know, ridiculous. But by the end of the book, as this quote shows, he comes to understand how that can, you know, be a thing. And not only does he understand it on an intellectual level, but he accepts it on an emotional level. So through centering the novel around this exploration of this thematic question, that thematic question of, you know, how can we truly understand others and destroy this divide between us versus them, Le Guin creates a great deal of engagement and a cerebral experience in readers, because that thematic question justifies the existence of every other element in her story. if you think about this idea of breaking down the barrier between us and them, what better vehicle to convey this in than a story about this intergalactic ambassador trying to recruit this you know, almost backwards planet into the wider galactic civilization? What better exploration of the idea of us and them than, you know, dissolving a barrier that particularly back in 1969 people would have thought was a lot more concrete? So we are eager for the exposition that Le Guin gives to us in The Left Hand of Darkness because of the strength of this thematic question, because it will help us better understand the thematic question. We are eager for character arcs to unfold in this book because it will help shine a new light on the theme. And lastly, we are eager for the exploration of the world, for it too will allow us to explore the theme. So by setting up this really interesting, strong focus on one central idea and exploring the ramifications, consequences, and impacts of it, it allows this book to be incredibly engaging, despite the fact that, on paper, it doesn't seem like there's anything happening. This is not a quote-unquote high-concept book. A high-concept story refers to a story where you can more or less summarize it in one sentence. For example, Die Hard is a very high-concept film that I love, which can be summarized like so. A cop is trapped in a building with terrorists, and they have his wife hostage, and he must kill them all. That was probably even longer than it needs to be, right? But basically, it's very simple. It's cop trapped in dangerous environment with terrorists. And there have been lots of other movies that have pitched themselves as Die Hard in a plane, say Air Force One, or Die Hard in a boat, etc., etc., etc. So those are high concept stories. Left Hand of Darkness, not a high concept story, because it's so hard to kind of explain the magic of it in a boiled down sentence or even a whole blurb. It's not a novel concerned with giving us a neat ending or a clear goal to work towards. It's a novel that works around this central topic of dissolving the boundaries between us versus them, always spiraling around this center, but never really quite reaching it. Like many readers, I left this story with more questions than answers. And this, I think, is the power of a slow-burning narrative that's deeply concerned with important questions. So I encourage you to think, as we wrap up this episode, what is the question that your story explores? How can you engage with it in a fascinating way to leave readers pondering your novel long after they finish? Thanks for listening to the Novel Analyst Podcast. Like I mentioned in the introduction of this episode, my latest fantasy book, Across the Broken Stars, is out today. If you enjoy epic fantasy set in highly unique worlds, if you enjoy sci-fi books like The Left Hand of Darkness, which is set in these incredibly unique worlds which are very different to our own, you will really enjoy Across the Broken Stars. It's set in a world where people live on discs that float in space, so that leads to all kinds of interesting conflicts and plots and story arcs that you can't get in a story that's set on the ground on a planet. So if you enjoy those kind of fantasy stories which are a bit out there with their world building, then this is definitely the book for you. You can pick up a copy on the Book Depository with free international shipping for the paperback and a hardcover, or you can go to Amazon for the ebook and also paperback and hardback, or you can go to give you a third option here, my very own website, jedhearn.com/AcrossTheBrokenStars, link to that in the show notes, and that will allow you to buy a copy there as well. If you check it out, I hope you really enjoy it. Now, thanks so much for listening. Go and write extraordinary stories. I'll see you next time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.